Yeah, it's Friday. The Kings are in Indianapolis, so is Kyle Draper. He appears to be deep in thought here, or he was moments ago before we got going. Drapes, how are you? How's the team? How is the team dealing with the all-star snubbage that we chronicled yesterday?
Hey, man, everybody's upset, right? I mean, from coaches, players, staffers, you know, ownership, everybody's upset. It's like, and I'm seeing all the tweets out there from the fans. I'm seeing all the comments out there. I mean, to be the only playoff team in terms of top six team in neither conference to not have an all-star, to me, that's just blasphemous, disrespectful. And when you look at it, and don't get me started, Whitey, you're already getting me fired up. You know, I came in, I was calmed down, you know, Indianapolis, kind of a sleepy town, had some nice dinner last night. I took it easy. I didn't hit the streets or anything like that, but now you got me fired up. I still can't believe that neither of our guys got the all-star bid. And it's kind of a bittersweet pill to swallow because – the All-Star game is going to be right here in Indy in a couple of weeks, and you got the signage out there, and news channels are talking about, oh, it's going to be a great day of basketball, great weekend of basketball. You know, here are the All-Star reserves, and no mention of the Sacramento Kings. It's just shocking.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons I'm getting you riled up is because I honestly thought by now I would be, for the most part, like annoyed but over it. But the more I think about it, the more angry I get for this reason. Last year when the Kings finally broke through, and I know Domas had been an all-star before, deservedly, but last year the Kings broke through with two all-stars. And to me, that seemed to be an acknowledgement from the league, from the powers that be, that Sacramento, you're legit. We recognize you. We see you. We see what you're doing. And part of that would be down the road, if there's any ever question about who's an all-star, well, we know Sacramento's legit. So it's, I feel like last year part of the joy was that feeling like, okay, we've arrived. We get the respect now. We get the respect that comes with, you know, having a couple all-star selections. And instead, you get this year, and you get sand kicked in your face again, and that's what's so frustrating. I thought we were beyond that. We certainly should be.
I thought we were in the club, right?
Yeah,
I thought we were one of the ones, you know?
Yes.
We weren't these young up-and-comers feel-good story anymore, you know? We weren't, you know, the Houston Rockets or you know, out east, the Orlando Magic. Like, we have bona fide all-stars, especially when you look at, you know, what's going on not only this year but last year also.
Right.
We had two all-NBA guys. They weren't just all-stars. They were all-NBA guys, so they should be already in the club. You know, and then I feel like, and we talked about this all last week and this week, I feel like the All-Star is almost like a lifetime achievement award or a reputation kind of award, because when you look at some of the guys that made it, and I know they're stars, and I know I'm going to get on Steph Curry again, but if you took the names off the sheet and you just looked at this year and what they accomplished and what their teams accomplished, there's no way De'Aaron Fox shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
There's no way DeMontis Sabonis shouldn't be there. And so I'm hoping, you know, the Kings come out here and take it out on Indiana, these Pacers teams, you know, who got their own all-star in Tyrese Halliburton, and get a little payback out here tonight.
I understand your view. I don't share it, but I understand and respect it. But I still think the reason I say that is because, you know, I think either way you look at it, your way, my way, there's still no way Karl Anthony Towns should be on there instead of Domas. That's the thing, you know? So, and cost Domas a little bit of money, huh?
It did. You know what? One point something, you know.
1.3.
Yeah, 1.3, you know, and now you're messing with my man's pockets.
Yeah.
You know, that upsets me also. That should upset Domas. You know, I'm counting those chips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Jay says, don't count somebody else's money. No, I'm counting his money for him in this case, because this dude lost out on some money, and then he's coming back home, obviously, a place he played, you know, for 4-plus seasons. And so I'm expecting, you know, the best of Domas tonight, but I just can't, like, here's the thing, Whitey. Anybody that tries to explain why the Kings aren't represented at the All-Star weekend this year, they really can't do it.
You're right. It's like, you're 100%.
Well, the committee, the coaches rewarded winning. All right, so why is Anthony Davis on there?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Steph Curry on there? Well, you know, they got, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is having a great year. Well, Domas is having a better year. And so whatever logic they try to use,
I agree.
Just doesn't add up.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, that's really irritating about this. But onward and upward. By the way, today we're only with you for an hour before we get to game night. but it's going to be quite an hour. I know that we have I'm calling it. I hope you're okay with this. I call it Drapes Dimes. When you get to talk to one of the coaches or somebody, we're going to share that interview today. Jordy Fernandez, right? How do you feel about that? We got an edition of Drapes Dimes coming up today.
No, I like that.
All right,
because
good.
As a player, I was known to dish out dimes. You know, I wasn't just a scorer back in my day. I'm an assist man, too. I set people up.
Yeah.
So I like that. Yeah, I like
that. All right. We got that coming up. And then as far as the Pacers go, hey, Drapes, what the Kings have to do tonight, among other things, you got to batter this team on the backboards. The Pacers, and they're wonderful and they're fun, and we know what happened when they came in here. They're a very poor rebounding team. The Knicks destroyed them last night on the glass. So that's one area in which I think the Kings can establish the foundation for revenge tonight. Beat up this team on the backboards. Please.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Domas, you know, 26 is his career high, you know, go for 30 tonight, right?
Yeah.
And the offensive glass, too, not just, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. You're right, because the Knicks, you know, pounded them on the old boards last night and able to get the win. And so this is a battered, bruised, weary Indiana team that got back, you know, late at night. And so, no, it should be there. What are they, 28th, I think, in the league in rebounding? And so they don't have anybody that's going to get you 15, 18, 20 rebounds like Domantas Sabonis. Jalen Smith, he did a great job, you know, when we saw him. But now you got Pascal Siakam, not necessarily known as a big-time rebounder. And so you're right. They should be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, of course, last time they came here, we thought the Kings would be able to take advantage of their short roster. It didn't work out that way, but we'll see. Fingers crossed tonight. Haliburton played last night, Tyrese Haliburton. He played just over 20 minutes,
yeah.
And I'll bet anything, if he plays tonight, it's going to be at least 20 minutes. You know why?
Why?
Because that's the minimum to get credit for a game. Seriously.
You're right.
Yeah, you got to play. You got to play 65 games, as we've been talking about a lot this week, and you have to play 20 minutes or more in one of those games for it to count. So he's one of those guys, like we've been focusing on Joel Embiid, but Tyrese Haliburton's another guy who's wrestling with that whole limit, or actually it's not a limit, it's a minimum for how many games you have to play to be eligible for awards.
Yeah, and they're spinning it that, you know, he's on a quote-unquote minutes restriction. Well, the minutes restriction, just as you said, happens to coincide with that minimum needed to play. And it's interesting, he, you know, must play at least 65, or he's missed 13 games so far this season. If he misses 17, then you're getting into that dicey area. The most he can miss is 17. And so, you know, I expect to see him out here tonight, second night of a back-to-back. So what? Doesn't matter. You're right about that. I mean, this is big-time money for him. You know, we talked about it yesterday, a chance to earn, you know, upwards of $40 million more dollars if he makes All-NBA. And so, no, you're right. It just so happens the minutes restriction coincides with the amount needed to qualify for that game.
Now, I got a question for you, Mr. Yeah. Play-by-play guy, and you've seen the league every which way, upside down, inside out. How did the Lakers beat your Celtics last night? I mean, no AD, no LeBron. How did that happen?
Hey, it's typical in the NBA, right? I mean, shoot, we saw it last couple weeks ago when Indiana came into Sacramento and beat us. No Pascal, no Tyrese Haliburton in that game. Indiana was banged up. And yet, they pulled off the upset. And so I think two things happened. You know, the Celtics took the Lakers for granted. You know, a little bit of a letdown. Like, think about it. You show up. You get excited. You know, you wake up that morning. Man, I get to go against LeBron. I get to go against AD. I'm about to give these dudes work. And then midway through the day, you find out these guys aren't playing. So you let up a little bit. A little bit of a disappointment. And then the Lakers played out of their mind. Like, D'Angelo Russell looked like Brooklyn Nets D'Angelo Russell, All-Star D'Angelo Russell. Austin Reeves looked like, you know, Team USA Austin Reeves. And so it's interesting, though, now, because after that loss, a lot of people jumping off that Celtics bandwagon, questioning the Celtics. Mm. And they do have some issues. I mean, they're a three-point or bust kind of team. When you look back, historically, I'm going back the last 10 to 15 years at the Celtics playoff losses, it's usually because they went cold at the wrong time, and we saw a little bit of that last night.
We know the Kings had interest in Siakam, didn't get him. There is another player we think the Kings are interested in, And we just found out that two first rounders, apparently not enough to land this player. We're right back with that. We got Drapes, Dimes coming up. Trade talk today when we come right back with the Drive Guys, Sacktown. We got Kyle Draper in Indianapolis. Get ready to bring us the play-by-play tonight on NBC Sports California. Whitey here in Sacramento. Drapes, before we get to trade talk today, I have a question. It's a serious question. Hopefully I'm not the only one interested in this, but when I watch people on TV, and I know it may be different for news as opposed to a game, but can you wear whatever you want to wear? Do you ever get, hey, Katie's going to wear this, so you wear that? Or is there ever anybody says, you know, we didn't like that tie you had last night? Or how does that work? Please fill me in.
No, man, I get to choose whatever I want. At least, no pre-show meeting about it. Me and Katie don't talk and try to match or anything like that. I think especially when you get, you know, to this level, it's you sort of figured out what you can and can't wear. I've never been told. You know what, though? I will say, when I first started out in TV, they did tell me certain colors. I needed to stay away from. And so I've sort of adhered to that. You won't see me wearing a whole lot of, like, brown. Brown's not a very flattering color on TV. Although, I think tomorrow in Chicago, I do have a brown tie.
There we go.
Yeah. He's a rebel. So, yeah, nobody tells us what to wear. No consultant or anything like that.
Gotcha. I apologize if that's a dumb question, but I wondered that all the time. And you must spend, it's none of our business that much, but you must spend a lot of money on your wardrobe, right? I mean, that's a, can you deduct that? Is that a business expense?
Come on, Whitey. Who are you talking to, bro? Who are you talking to? First of all, you know, I will say this. When I was in Boston, and I need to put this out there in Sacramento, if we got any Sacramento designers or clothing stores, or I had this deal with this store in Boston for about 5 years, and I got all kinds of stuff. I mean, your boy got loaded up. So I'm still wearing some stuff from back then.
I gotcha.
You know? And so I do have to spend a little bit here lately. Like, remember, I got a spot in Toronto, I think I told you. Well, maybe not you, but last year. Like, when we'd make our trip to Toronto, I got a spot up there that I got to hit up. And so, yeah, man, you got to stay fresh. These young kids are coming for you, you know. You got to stay fresh and look relevant out here.
All right, thank you. Yeah, just something I wonder about. I appreciate that. A lot of us have been wondering about LeBron, especially since after the Lakers lost in Atlanta this week. LeBron on X posted an hourglass emoji, and a lot of people thought, oh, I don't know what it was supposed to mean, but a lot of people thought LeBron saying, my time is running out here. Who knows what he meant? But anyway, Rich Paul had to come out today and say, LeBron will not be traded. We are not asking for it. I remember a time when the team was the only one that could say whether a guy's going to be traded or not. But I know it's different now, and he is LeBron. Did you ever think there was anything to the speculation that, ooh, maybe it's time to move off of LeBron for the Lakers?
No, not at all, because I don't think – first of all, it's LeBron James, you know, and no matter what, he moves the needle. He puts fans' butts in seats. We saw it last night in Boston. He didn't play, and fans were super upset. Like, it was – like the level of vitriol that Boston's fans threw LeBron's way was crazy. Second of all, any package the Lakers get back for LeBron isn't designed to help you win now. And so if you're the Lakers, are you really going to sort of bottom out, or I don't want to say tank, but, you know, punt on this season? And Brian Windhorst made an interesting point also on ESPN today when talking about the late Jerry Buss, late owner of the Lakers. He said their mission, their mantra was to always treat the star player the best they could, because other star players notice that. And so if they trade a guy like LeBron James, or they do LeBron wrong, if you will, who's to say the next superstar won't remember that and be like, you treat it, and so I never thought there was anything to it. Never
gotcha.
At all.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's funny, though, as you're talking there, I'm remembering when Dr. Buss reached that, at the time, historic agreement with Magic.
Yeah.
And it was for $25 million over 25 years. And we're like, oh, my goodness.
Right.
How can they afford to pay that? Are you crazy? Yeah. Hey, you know, yesterday we were talking about the NBA draft, which is now going to be two nights. And I think you and I were agreeing that second night, second round, who cares? But this year, If Bronny's in it, won't that add some second round drama, perhaps?
Nah, bro, you're reaching now. You're reaching.
It's a question.
It's one pick. Like it will add some. Yes, wait. I'm not shooting. It will add some. But what if he goes 32nd? What if he goes 35th? What about the other 25 picks or whatever, something like that? That's like a small thing. You know what's interesting about that? So LeBron can become a free agent after this season.
Exactly.
Bronny goes to Dallas, let's see.
Exactly.
All the talk now is going to be, watch out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that. But, oh, my. I tell you this. As much as I'm an NBA fan, as much as I love the association, I will not be watching day two of the NBA draft. I will be – remember, it'll be nice outside. It'll be, you know, light out later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stick around for pick number 55, 60 or whatever. Like, no, I got better things to do. My man G-Man over here to my left. G-Man, real quick, two-day NBA draft. Are you watching the second day? Oh, exactly. You should have saw G-Man's face. G-Man gave me the look. He's like, hell no. So I'm not sure what the NBA is trying to do. I mean, I get it, but it's not the NFL. This is going to be a one-and-done kind of thing. Unless they spice it up somehow, I just can't see, you know, much interest in this, man.
Yeah. Bronny will spice it up a little bit because, as you say, it may be an indication of where his dad's going. But we'll see. The rest of it, we'll see. Speaking of trades, okay, so we know LeBron is probably not going to be traded. And as you pointed out, we probably knew that anyway. But Dorian Finney-Smith is a guy that we think the Kings have some interest in, right?
Yes. I mean, 3-and-D guy, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. A source told the New York Post that the Nets rejected an offer of two first-rounders for Dorian Finney-Smith, who is...
What?
Yes. We don't know who made the offer, but yeah. A source told the Post the Nets said no thanks to two first-rounders for Dorian Finney-Smith, and he apparently is coveted by not just the Lakers but also and the Kings, but the Suns, Thunder, Bucks, and Mavericks. So maybe at this point the Nets feel like, no, there's enough teams who want him. We can get more than two number ones for him, or maybe they weren't very attractive number ones. But that surprised me.
I tell you what, if Dorian Finney-Smith is going to net more than two first-round picks, the NBA got a problem.
I mean, this is.
I'm
with you.
Like, that's another reason why LeBron won't get traded. If Dorian Finney-Smith is two first-round picks minimum, LeBron's going to be eight first-round picks. Your firstborn and ownership stake in your franchise. Like, Dorian, the Brooklyn Nets, what are they doing?
I know.
Dorian Finney-Smith. It's funny because I saw that, report online, and Nets fans are like, what are we doing? Who do we have running the shop here? Two first-rounders for Dorian Finney-Smith? Why not? Like, the market is high, man. Maybe they're just playing hardball. You know, trying to just drive it up just a little bit. And then, you know, maybe right before the deadline, he'll get moved. Another player to keep an eye on, Ben Simmons, who's sort of back right now but not back. Did you see that Ben Simmons came back, played one game and tweaked his knee, and now he's out again?
I did. You know who loves Ben Simmons is your guy, Carmichael Dave. I know you listen to his show every day, even when you're on the road.
I set the alarm,
But I believe for a long time he's been in on Ben Simmons. It's just he makes so much money. Now with another injury, you know, that's I don't know how serious the knee injury is, but it sounds like it could be an actual concern.
Yeah, and I just with Ben Simmons, if he played, maybe I would kick the tires on it. But with all that money, like you said, his contract, his unavailability, thanks but no thanks. I don't know why Carmichael Dave – like Carmichael Dave is thinking about Ben Simmons' early Philadelphia years, all-star. Like I think that ship has sailed with Ben Simmons. Like I don't think he'll ever approach that kind of level again.
I think Ben Simmons is the type of guy that if you – you know, if nobody wanted him and you could get him on a real cheap deal and there's, hey, maybe, you know, he looked good in the workout, let's take a flyer on him. But other than that, it would be ridiculous to invest all that money in a guy that's proven he's probably not going to be able to play for you.
He's the kind of guy you wait for the buyout market or something like that, you know. He just happens to be on the waiver wire or a free agent. You bring him in for a workout, but you don't give up any kind of noticeable assets for that guy.
How about Royce O'Neal? I know we've talked about him. According to reports out of New York, Royce O'Neal could fetch a first-round pick and has been linked to the Mavericks, Nuggets, Pacers, Bucks, Timberwolves, Suns, and Kings.
And how much what would it take, a first-round pick?
It could fetch a first-round pick. Yeah, they could get a first-round pick for him, according to this report.
I don't know. I just – it doesn't move the needle for me, man. It's, you know, it's a solid player, good player, but he's what, your seventh man? You giving up a first-round pick for a seventh man, Whitey? I don't know.
Not him. I don't think.
Not him, right? You know, we keep bringing up, at least I do, Matisse Thybulle. That's a guy I definitely would give up a, you know, protected first-round pick for. I think he's perfect. But Royce O'Neal, I mean, if they make a move for Royce O'Neal, Kings fans, are we really celebrating that? That's nice. That's, you know, it's solid. But a month ago, we were talking Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
How do we go from Siakam to Royce O'Neal? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Bless Royce O'Neal. Bless him. Dorian Finney-Smith, two number ones too much for him. Royce O'Neal, probably not interested. I still think I would be interested in Bruce Brown.
Yeah. First-round pick for Bruce Brown?
Yeah, I think I'd be interested in that. But, you know, it looks like it's a real seller's market, and there's just that's why these prices are so goofy. There's not that much product available, and there's a lot of potential buyers here, so that's why you end up with Dorian Finney-Smith. He's yours for two first round picks. Maybe the market is just so squirrely right now that Kings are better off sitting out.
Yeah, I think so. Like it, and I forget whether Sam Amick or somebody wrote or who we had on the other day that it might be more prudent to wait till the offseason.
Yeah.
Like, you know, go as far as you can this year. And me and Jordy Fernandez sort of talk about this coming up in just a little bit on that interview that we're going to play about the goals for this year versus some of the long-term goals. And I think it may give us an insight into what the Kings might be thinking come trade deadline, what they might be thinking as they push for the playoffs here.
Yeah, we got Drapes Dimes with Jordy Fernandez coming up in just a little bit. Up next, we have the story of how Kyle Shanahan, speaking of trades, he wasn't sure about CMC. And I just found a Super Bowl quarterback rating that I don't think Kyle Draper's going to care for. That's when we come right back here. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
DeMontis.
Short show today because we have Kings basketball. Kyle Draper's in Indianapolis now getting ready for the Pacers and the Kings, of course. Drapes, before we get any further, I just wanted to say rest in peace, former Oakland Raider linebacker and, of course, Apollo Creed.
Yes.
Carl Weathers passing away today at the age of 76.
Yeah, great actor. Obviously, I remember him, you know, mostly from those Rocky movies. And think about it, like, his role got a spinoff, you know, spinoff movie, Creed. So, you know, rest in peace. I feel like I just saw him in a commercial.
He's in a commercial for the Gronk kick.
Right. Yeah. That's him, right?
Yeah, he's his coach. Yeah.
I'm like, man, that's tough to see, man, and tough to hear.
Yeah. And Jay, when we were talking about it, Jay said, don't forget Action Jackson.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't make them like they used to anymore, right? Movies.
That was my joint right there, man. Delaplane, you know.
Yeah. I think in Action Jackson, there's some guy that's criminal or whatever, and he has like a flamethrower, and he says, hey, how do you like your ribs? He turns on the flamethrower. Good old Action Jackson. Yeah. He was really funny, too. He was on Arrested Development. So, anyway, former Oakland Raider.
Yep.
Rest in peace. Carl Weathers. With the Super Bowl coming up here, there was a story we talked about yesterday because Jed York met with the media and he said some things about how Kyle told me a long time ago that Brock Purdy is going to be really good. And we'd kind of already heard that. It's interesting, but this really caught my eye and my ear, Drapes. Another thing that Jed York said yesterday was that when they were going to trade for Christian McCaffrey, quote, Shanahan thought it was a lot to give up for a running back. And I think John and I thought it was just the right amount to give up for Christian. I remember that very vividly, where he said, look, it's not a pass rusher. It's not a quarterback. It's a good player. Do we want to give up that much? And collectively it was like, do you want him to go to L.A.? So that's one of the reasons I decided to trade for CMC. But that's hilarious to me that Shanahan's like, I don't know if he's that good.
And now look at him.
Yeah.
Like, really, you know, the leader of your offense in terms of what he can do for you. I mean, in so many different areas, running, out of the backfield, catching. I mean, he has really transformed this Niners offense. But we also got to remember at the time, too, Whitey, you know, CMC was banged up, coming off a couple of injuries. You know, we didn't know how durable he would be. And he's been an Iron Man since coming to San Francisco. You know, that will go down. It's not necessarily Herschel Walker kind of trade, but in terms of what it's done to this Niners team, I mean, it has transformed this franchise and put them in a position where they're one win away from the Super Bowl. I keep maintaining, and my boy Cam Newton agrees with me, CMC is the best player on this team and to me the most valuable.
Yeah, he's nothing without Trent Williams and Juszczyk clearing the way for him, but whatever. I wondered what you think of this here. This was at NFL.com today.
Yeah.
Greg Rosenthal, I believe, is the guy who put this together. And he ranks all the quarterbacks who've ever been in the Super Bowl. So every one of them. And he's got at the top, he calls it the goat pasture. 1, Brady. 2, Unitas. 3, Montana. 4, Peyton Manning. 5, Marino. 6, Aaron Rodgers. 7, Mahomes. And 8, Brett Favre. And that's one whole category. It's hard to argue with, right?
Yeah, I guess. You know, in terms of talent, yeah. All right, I'll be okay with that. Yeah,
okay.
It's just I feel like Aaron Rodgers is so overrated right now.
I agree with you.
With his one Super Bowl, but okay, I'll give it to him.
I agree with you. He's got middle of the pack here. Remember, we're talking about, 58? This is a 58 Super Bowl, so middle of the pack. 45, Chris Chandler. 46, Billy Kilmer. 47, Joe Flacco. 48, Brad Johnson. 49, Mark Rippon. 50, Jeff Hostetler. Goff at 51. Nick Foles, 52. Neil O'Donnell, Colin Kaepernick, Jake Delhomme, 55. Jalen Hurts at 56, which is just
that's ridiculous.
Two spots higher than Brock Purdy, who hasn't actually played in a game yet. And I was just wondering what you thought of that.
Well, you know darn well what I think about that. I think of that article, that story, the same way I think about box scores. If I could, I'd just ball it up and throw. Because it just totally messes up, skews, like, the rest of the article. To have Jalen Hurts, who was runner-up MVP last year, who led his team to the Super Bowl, way that far down behind some of those names, who I can't even – what, Mark Rippon?
Jake Delhomme, 55.
Jake Delhomme?
Neil O'Donnell, 53. Jeff Hostetler, Mark Rippon, Brad Johnson. Chris Chandler, 45. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's hilarious.
I have to
hilarious.
Admit, it caught me by surprise. Purdy is ahead of Jimmy by one spot, Jimmy G. Again, Purdy has not even played in
a
Super Bowl.
Hasn't even played a Super Bowl yet. It's somebody, you know, they're just, they got to fill content, man. You know, it's like, all right, let me come up with this. And so they got him into – so we're talking how many – this what, the 58th Super Bowl?
58?
Yeah, 58,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So there's been, you know – and then most – like Brady has started so many and, you know. Like where's like an Eli Manning on there or somewhere – somebody like that? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I hate these kind of lists though because as Big Perk says on ESPN, it's not your list. It's not Malika's list. It's my list. So this is this one guy's opinion. It just for Jalen Hurts to be that low. And I'm not even going to throw shade at Brock Purdy because it's you know, Brock Purdy is what he is. But Jalen Hurts?
Eli Manning is 30th, and I don't think you're going to like this either.
What?
At 26 is Donovan McNabb. So
who's ahead of Donovan McNabb? That's how I base things on. Don't tell me. You know, who's
it's
like
Russ,
Trent Dilfer or
Russ
somebody.
And Stabler and Kenny Anderson and Kurt Warner and Jim Kelly, Len Dawson, Bob Greasy. Donovan McNabb is actually very high on this list.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that.
Okay,
I think in my opinion, Donovan McNabb should be a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Like, I'm of that belief, but when you started naming some of those names right ahead of him, like, I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Cam's at 35. Anyway, thank you. I don't mean to, you know, always be going after you on Purdy, but I saw it just before we went on the air, and it actually cracked me up. It's like, wait, how Brock Purdy hasn't even played?
He hasn't even
how
played.
Can he be ahead of anybody but two behind Jalen Hurts? So we'll see what we see here. And by the way, Brock Purdy with a big, I'm sure you saw this, just signing a huge national endorsement deal with Toyota now. So he's going to be raking in some dough. Good for him.
Yeah, his Toyota deal probably pays him more than his NFL contract, I would imagine. And this is a smart business move, I think, of on Toyota's part. Like, what if he does go out there and win the Super Bowl? What if he is Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah.
The price you get him for today ain't going to be tomorrow's price, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think this is a prudent move, a smart move, and you know, this is just the beginning for Brock Purdy in terms of his fame. If he can lead the Niners to the Super Bowl, talking about movies, endorsements, just his story. He's going to be on all the talk shows in the morning and everything. Like, his profile is about to skyrocket if he can get it done in a week.
I know a lot of people have been comparing him to Kurt Warner. And there was even a piece in The Athletic today, I think David Lombardi, comparing these 49ers this year to that greatest show on turf. And to me, it's a bit of a reach. I understand it, but I don't think of those two teams as being that similar. I mean, the Rams were just like, boom, quick strike,
right.
You know, and deep. They threw deep, and the 49ers are a little more measured. So, yeah, there's similarities, but to me, I don't see them as being really similar.
No, I agree, and I look at the Niners as a more varied offense, if you will, like a little more depth
to
them. Then, you know, because what the Niners can do, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, if it is a grinded out kind of game, like, they can be physical. Like, I feel like the Niners are a physical team when they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I felt like that greatest show on turf team was more finesse, more quickness, like you said, quick strike. You know, when I look at, you know, Debo and CMC and the way they play, they aren't finesse players, you know. These are power guys. And so I think that's a big difference between the two.
Do you think the Chiefs have potentially a huge advantage in this game when it comes to field goal kicking?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, Moody, you know, sort of corrected some things, you know, second half the other day. But in the Super Bowl, bright lights, mm-hmm. biggest of stages, you know. Sure, it'll be a controlled environment. He won't have to worry about weather or anything like that. But, no, I do think they have an advantage. Like, Moody, do you have faith in him?
I don't know why. I think I'm just
being – Do you
being,
really?
I do, and I think it's just a matter of I'm just going to ignore the evidence and just assume he'll be fine.
Is that like a blind faith, though?
Yeah,
is that
I think it's
like
exactly what it is.
More of a hope instead of an actual – like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's money. He's automatic.
Yes, I think you're right. I wouldn't deny that. I think that's exactly what it is. I saw something this week about field goal kicking in the Super Bowl, and it said, you know, you really, in the Super Bowl, you can't tell how guys are going to kick based on how they've kicked before. Now, that's not really in the 49ers' favor, but it means that, maybe it's not going to be as big of an advantage as it looks like, because I'm with you on paper. It looks like a huge advantage for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think so. And you also got to remember, too, when you talk about the Super Bowl, it's not your ordinary football game. You know, it's everything that comes with it, the pageantry, media, the halftime show that takes forever. You know, I think all of that plays a factor in you know, not only do the Chiefs have the advantage, I think, at the kicking game, but having been there before, meaning Patrick Mahomes and not necessarily Brock Purdy, I think that helps them out. We know the Niners have been there, you know, a couple of years ago, but I think, you know, having that quarterback who's the face of the league, who's been there, doesn't get wide-eyed or anything like that, I think that helps the Chiefs out. But shoot, man, Brock Purdy has been proving me wrong all freaking season long, so who knows what's going to happen.
Well, that's enough football for now. We'll get back to the Kings and the Pacers. We got another edition of Drapes Dimes. He has an exclusive interview with Kings assistant Jordy Fernandez. We've got that for you when we come right back here. It's the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Yeah, Kings and Pacers tonight, and now from Indianapolis, it's time for another edition of Drapes Dimes.
All right, here with Kings associate head coach Jordy Fernandez. Jordy, thanks for taking the time here on a game day. Tough game tonight against Indiana, part of this 12-day, seven-game road trip. How would you assess how this trip is going so far?
I think so far so good. Obviously, the record is important, and I believe we're 3-1. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been, after struggling for a few games, result-wise, I think we saw some good things, but we lost games at the end, and that's always frustrating. But, you know, you always see the same from our guys, a bounce back. Mm-hmm. And after the struggle, we worked. Obviously, we had to clean up some things, get better, and the guys showed the improvement in closing games and, you know, even like the Dallas game that we're up and they make a comeback, and I think we still at the end, we figured out the way and in the past, or we've lost some games in those situations. So right. I think that shows growth and maturity from some of our guys, and it's a good sign. And like the NBA, it is like, you have to move on to the next one. So last game in Miami, we were not good enough. They wanted it more than us. We didn't recover a single 50-50 ball, didn't get enough deflection in the second half, but that tells you that, you know, our ability to hustle and play hard was not elite, and that's what you need in this league, especially on the road. You have to be able to grind and to win some ugly ones. We couldn't really make a shot. Keegan was the only one getting going for us from the three-point line. But I think if we would have been better defensively, we would have played harder. We would have had a chance. So that's how you learn. It's been a long road trip, obviously. You know, changing time zones and all that stuff is tough. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't have it. But we got to learn from it. And then yesterday we watched film, and I think we'll be ready tonight.
How do you balance the 82 games, not getting too high and too low, but also trying to convey the sense of urgency that each and every game matters?
I think it starts with coach and the accountability that he, you know, he demands. And I think the accountability, like he said before, it goes both ways. And I think that, you know, we're always going to ask for more just because we believe our guys are very good. And I think we've played well. We have a winning record in a good position, but we believe we can be better. And for us, development and improvement is important. We're not a final product at this moment. We have still a pretty young roster, and we believe we can do really good things. And you have to have like some short-term goals, some midterm goals, and some long-term goals. Right. So I think that that's who we are. You know, obviously we want to fight to be a playoff team, because we believe we are a playoff team. And then once we get there, to do better than last year, and that's how you go into the next season and the season after.
Right.
And you build a winning program, not just for 1 year, but for many years.
Let's talk about this game tonight. The Indiana Pacers, saw them just a couple of weeks ago. They were shorthanded, but they still came in our building and got the win. How much tape have you looked at versus, you know, from that game, and what's going to be the key out there tonight?
Yeah, it probably is going to be a little bit of a different roster, because of most likely Tyrese is going to play. But with that being said, they're a team that they play the right way. They're pretty fast. They lead the league in a lot of offensive categories. And I think that, you know, we have to be alert. We want to defend the paint. We got to defend the three-point line. They move the ball well. So good offensive team. Obviously, like you said, they beat us at our place. We have to clean up some things, and we'll just learn from it. And I think we'll be ready tonight, especially coming from the Miami game. So I think it's going to be fun, and it's going to be a good game with two very good teams.
Kings associate head coach Jordy Fernandez joining us here on The Drive, guys. Sactown Sports, 1140.
Jordy, we had the All-Star reserves named yesterday. Our boys didn't make it, man. What is the league missing? What are the coaches missing when it comes to Domas and Fox and them not being in the All-Star game this year?
They were not named by other people All-Stars, but I think it's pretty obvious that they are. If you look at the roster, you look at their numbers, it is what it is. You can control what you can control, and that should be just another reason why we go out there and we do the job that we do as a group led by these two guys. And that's the only way you can take it is, prove everybody wrong. And I know our guys do it. They do it consistently every night, and that has to be our goal. And the rest of us will help them out to make sure that everybody knows. So, like you said, probably not right. But again, like obviously those are opinions that's how the system works. We all have different opinions, and ours is that those guys are All-Stars, so it's not going to change our minds.
All right, Jordy Fernandez joining us here on The Drive, guys. Jordy, obviously we talk a lot about defense with this team and the strides, the improvements we're trying to make. What do you want to see defensively from the guys? Is it one or two things when we watch tonight's game and games going forward that fans should be looking for defensively from this team?
Yeah, I think our physicality, the way we create contact on the defensive end, nobody should go inside our three-point line and go untouched. I think contact is extremely important with our ability to take charges and protect the rim, verticalities. Anything that goes inside a three-point line should be very physical, and I think that's how we take steps forward. Like you said, from the day that we came here, we've improved, but we still have bigger goals for our guys defensively. We want to get to that top 10 defensive team. It doesn't happen overnight, but I think our guys, number one, they're working every single day and they care. So only thing you can do from there is keep helping them, hold them accountable, and the man. So I think we're on the right path.
You know, you've been a part of, a number of different organizations. Tell me about this group that we have here, because, I'm around you guys. And one thing that I noticed, it seems like there's a lot of camaraderie. Everybody seems to get along, a family kind of atmosphere. How would you, compare, I guess, this group, whether it's the coaches, the players, to some of the previous spots you've been?
I think we have a great, great thing going, and it starts with with a human group, like you just said, great group of coaches, also with the front office organization, the players. And I think that all comes from Mike Brown, the ability to bring everybody together and build relationships. I think that we all have to be connected. It's not just the players on the court, but it's the rest of us. We all have to have the relationship and build it and care about it. And I think since day one, we've done it, we've worked on it, and that's the result. You do a lot of things, some dinners on the road, especially when it's like long road trips. And I think that's, it comes from the organization allowing us to do that, from the front office, from ownership, from the coach, from the players. And I think that, that translates to winning. Right. And translates to do things the right way and to care about people, because at the end of the day, those guys are pro athletes, but they're people, and they have also, sometimes you're on the road and you miss your friends, your family, and there's always struggles and sacrifices. And I think that at the end of the day, like you said, when you have that connectivity and you're you're together and you get to know each other, I think that really makes a difference. And I think that's why we have a great group here.
All right, Kings associate head coach Jordy Fernandez joining the Drive guys on Sactown Sports 1140. Thanks so much, Coach. Good luck tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Jordy. Thank you, Drapes. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Stick around. Game night is next on Sactown Sports.